Almost 40 years ago, the storied children's author Maurice Sendak was asked in an interview about his favorite comments from readers over the years. He proceeded to share about a little boy who had sent him a card, a sweet card, and with it a little drawing, both of which Sendak loved. He explained that he always responded to letters from children, and while sometimes he did so very quickly, for whatever reason, he lingered over this one. The author sent the boy a postcard, and he drew a picture of one of his iconic wild things on it. Sendak went on to say that a little while later, he got a letter back from the boy's mother. She explained that her son loved the card so much, he ate it. It did not matter to him that this was an original drawing from one of the most celebrated children's authors of all time. In Sendak's words, "That was, to me, one of the highest compliments I have ever received. He saw it. He loved it. He ate it." And this is how I have encountered Jesus this week, though admittedly he is behaving in a slightly more grown-up fashion in our gospel today. It's not the procession that grabbed my attention, though, lively as it is, raucous perhaps on a colt that has never been ridden. So many people turn out to walk with him into Jerusalem to celebrate all that he has done and all the ways they hope he's going to set them free. There are songs and shouts. There's a comical mess of branches and cloaks all spread out across the road. It is a spectacle. And then Jesus arrives in the temple. He walks in, and he stops. And there, silent, he looks at everything. This, I think, is the moment when Jesus eats the letter. Jesus is taking it all in, I mean. I've never noticed this line in the gospel before. In all the hubbub, I've always just run right past it. But here he is, stopping and giving everything he sees his full attention, his whole heart. He stops all the action, stops this barreling train of a story to look at everything. He looks at the beauty of the sacred space, at the people offering their devotion. He looks at this whole community gathered in worship. He looks at the years and years of work it took to build this offering to God, and the longing of all these people to keep drawing close to the holy. Jesus looks at everything and takes it into himself, just as that small boy did. And maybe it seems like this pause, this attention, won't change much. After all, we know where this story is going. We know it's about to get much, much worse. Why does he stop there, stand there, giving the temple his undivided attention? I wonder if he suspects that this may be the best we can do to offer our love, that this is ultimately the primary gift we have to offer. It necessarily precedes any action, any thing. We can't know what service is needed in our neighborhood if we haven't stopped to pay attention first. We can't guess what thing a person might need before we've slowed down to watch, to listen. Our first gift, then, is our eyes, our ears, our hearts slowed down and turned toward another to simply take them in, to pay attention. This ultimately is prayer. Such is the wisdom of Simone Weil. You may have heard me talk about her before because I think her teaching is so important. She was a French philosopher and mystic born in 1909. And as a young woman, she wrote that absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Before any words can come, before any words need to come, there is our attention. On what do we train it? And where do we give it over or give it up, letting our attention splinter across all the people and tasks that vie for it? Can we pull it back together into one strain? Hold it together long enough that we can give it to someone or to just one thing? Can we let this undivided attention be our prayer, even if briefly? I realize this may feel like an impossible question. It does, often, for me. Our screens grab constantly at our attention. They are designed to, after all. As clever people have realized that they can make piles of money by turning our attention into a commodity. The world clambers for our attention. Smartwatches buzz with new messages and headlines. Children call out to parents with many, many excellent questions. There are our jobs, our grandchildren's struggles. There are health concerns, political worries, cars whose check engine lights keep flickering on, the months that paychecks come too late or not at all. The list goes on. Of course, our attention is pulled in 1,000 directions. Of course, it's hard to slow down, to stop, to really look at anything. And yet, in spite of it all, maybe because of it all, that is the invitation before us this week. We're being asked to pay such close attention that we, at least in metaphor, eat the letter. This is the time when we take the story into ourselves, into our very being. Human as he is, Jesus must already be filled with fear for what is to come. He knows that he will not back down from this way of love, and so he knows also that it's going to get him killed. He knows that Jerusalem is where it's going to happen, and still he walks back in through those city gates. He knows he has more to teach there, more love to offer, more healing to proclaim. And still it must ache for him. Fill him with reticence, even as he is also filled with resolve. Maybe this is us, too, as we step into Holy Week. I don't know about you, but these days I often feel like I'm not sure I have the capacity to take in much more bad news. So why would we willingly spend more time on such a hard, sad story? Why would we put our attention there when in so many ways it already surrounds us? Well, I think that maybe that's precisely why we need to dive in and together go deep. We go in because we need the whole of the story. We need a God who knows this fear, who remembers this hurt, who knows what it is to walk forward even before the way through is clear. We go in because as Easter people, right, as people of the resurrection, we need not be afraid of the shadows that come first. Instead, we hold fast to the promise, to the good news that God meets us there. The story that begins today and continues through the week is one of Jesus taking in what he sees, what he loves, what we all long for, and taking it into his body. He's paying such attention that he folds the whole community of faith into his very being. Even as he knows it will soon disappoint him, that they will betray him, even as he knows that the whole enterprise is in need of healing and reconciliation, he pays attention all the same and brings it into himself. We, too, can do the same, offering our attention and bringing all this into ourselves, our attention then becoming our prayer. It happens when we let the words of our sacred stories wash over us, settle into us, when we let these stories both soften our hearts and then also strengthen our resolve. It happens when we embrace one another, passing the peace, or in a few days, tenderly, vulnerably washing each other's feet. We welcome one another in close, and the borders between us blur for a moment, and we are joined. It happens when we reach out to receive the bread and then the cup, our attention falling fully to this God who wants to be with us, who wants to be a part of us, and then letting ourselves be fed by this grace. Friends, we are on the precipice of entering the story that makes us who we are and that teaches us how we can keep going with God and with each other. All we have to give, all we can give, really, is our attention. Together, we can slow down and stop and look at everything. We can eat the letter. We can let our attention be our prayer.